Hello and welcome again to Tech Plus, where we talk about the week's biggest tech stories. My name's Ian, and with me as always is Kane. Kane, how's it going, man? Are you well?
I'm doing well. It's a new week, new tech.
Yes, and how was your week?
Great, there's no load shedding.
Yes, like it, eh? 40-something days already, and I'm getting highly suspicious.
Actually, Eskom made a statement the other day that it's got nothing to do with the elections. But
yeah.
I definitely didn't expect...
I like to believe that.
I didn't expect a statement to say that it has everything to do with the elections, so that's non-surprising.
yeah.
So we're back at it, eh? How's the weather treating you? Feeling the winter, winter temperatures yet?
Geez, especially this morning, eh? The last 2 days, this morning, it was like... crisp, eh? It's like, ooh. And you can't get out of bed. Well, I can't. When it's like that, it's so hard to get out of
it
bed.
It forces you awake later in the day.
Yeah.
I really feel like a lot of kind of admiration for the people who are out of bed 5 in the morning at work 5:30.
No, I don't know how you do it. And this week I started using blankets and long sleeves and stuff again.
You know, when I arrived at the Johannesburg airport, I actually arrived in Johannesburg and then I stayed a night in Johannesburg and then I was flying out to George in the morning. And my flight was at 7 a.m. So I arrived at the airport 2 hours early. And you know, the fact that there's someone there who's checking you in,
exactly.
Who's serving you coffee, that's flipping impressive to me. Like if you're up there and you're out and it's winter and you're like working at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., good on you, man. That's incredible. That's really hard work, and you should be proud of yourself for getting up every day and doing that, because some people just wouldn't be able to cope with that.
And I'm actually glad you bring this up, because then we think of people like the rescue workers in George at the moment trying to to save all the people from the rubble and working through the night. So they've got these huge spotlights there. But I mean, they obviously work in shifts as well. But I mean, it's a very hectic and delicate operation. Imagine working there through the night. It's ice cold. You've got people trapped there. You don't know if they're still alive by now. Let's be honest, they're probably no longer alive. So it's like a recovery process now.
Highly stressful
that
event.
I can't even imagine it, to be honest.
No. You need counseling after that too.
Yeah, all the rescuers and volunteers, let's just give them a nice shout out, because this is hectic. Nobody saw this coming. We most definitely didn't see a building collapse coming, especially not in our area.
No.
Very, very unlikely. And especially being brand new, you know.
Everyone I've spoken to about it's like, this is the stuff you hear about in movies. This doesn't feel real, you know.
Yeah, even in that one in Los Angeles. Was it LA? No, it was not LA. Miami, sorry. In Florida. That building that collapsed there almost 3 years ago, I think June is 3 years, that apartment building overnight, 12 stories, almost 100 people gone. That building was old, you know, like 40 years, badly maintained. But here we're talking about South Africa and a brand new building. Brand new four-story building.
And a series of unfortunate events,
and
truly.
We obviously will have to wait some time for the investigations to happen. I see this week people also flew drones over that site to get nice footage for the news maybe or for social media. And the airport company of South Africa, AXA, and said that's a no-flying zone. You're not allowed to fly that drone over that rescue site. So whoever was flying that drone there without a license is probably going to get into trouble.
Wow. Hard person to track down, you know. I mean,
exactly.
Very hard to enforce as well.
The other day I thought it was being attacked by bees, but it turned out it was a drone just above me. It was this very strange noise. All of a sudden I thought, oh Lord, I've come across a nest that's busy
migrating nest. This is the end for me.
Yeah, I don't want to go that way, to be honest. And it was just a drone.
Man, it's actually crazy. What do you think a bird thinks of a drone?
Oh, I don't think a bird likes it.
No.
It's like this weird robot bird.
No, and if you ever seen those birds, if you walk past their nest and stuff, they'll actually dive bomb you. And imagine a drone getting knocked by a bird of prey. Just see a falcon carrying a drone away.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they find it pretty annoying. I don't think they like the noise it makes.
Well, speaking of things that are annoying, we can all agree that traveling to Home Affairs can be pretty challenging, especially if you're going to get IDs and passports. And but have you seen they've started this new thing where you can actually do some of that at banks? Like, there's actually banks out there, bank branches, not any branch, but specific branches are actually, you're able to go there, you're able to get smart IDs and passports, either it's renewing them or getting a new one. And one of the people, one of the banks that are doing this is FNB. So apparently over 1.4 million smart ID cards and passport renewals have been carried out at eHome Affairs enabled bank branches in South Africa since the Department of Home Affairs rolled out the service in 2016. It's crazy that the service was rolled out in 2016 because this is the first year I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, I didn't know about it
until
you told me now. Was it not advertised at
all? Maybe it was just branches that are remote, like to us, you know, not available in our small little town.
Could
where the congestion is greatest. But this is according to data shared from FNB, whose seven supported branches accounted for the highest number of documents issued. By the end of March 2024, the bank's eHome Affairs enabled branches had issued 220,664 smart ID cards and renewed 273,039 passports for a total tally of 493,703. That's really, really cool. And the bank said its branches currently complete around, this is actually quite a number if you think about it, 7,000 ID and passport applications a month.
Wowie.
That's a lot of that's a lot.
That's a lot.
I wonder how many the Home Affairs go through. If that's just one of the bank branches in a region that supports it, it must be so many. I don't even think I would ever want the job of trying to give ID cards and passports and driver's licenses to every South African. I think I would unsubscribe from that newsletter for sure.
Yeah.
So the 9 eHome Affairs supported branches of South Africa's biggest bank, Standard Bank, accounted for the second highest number with a total of 418,397 documents. Absa and Nedbank, which have 6 supported branches each, have helped to facilitate the issuing of 231,797 and 225,580 documents, respectively. Investec and Discovery Bank, here I'm thinking it's just a few banks, it seems like every bank provides the service. Investec and Discovery Bank, each with 1 eHome Affairs branch, accounted for a further 27,041 and 19,354 documents, respectively. Overall, renewed passports accounted for most of the documents issued with 750,000 odd, and IDs, smart IDs, accounted for 665,000 odd smart IDs. That is actually pretty impressive, hey? In total, obviously 1.4 million, FNB having the most, Standard Bank the second most, Absa. I wonder if anybody here has a smart ID or a passport issued by a bank. I think it's a very clever service, and I think
we present a tech show. We don't have it.
What? Don't have an ID, no sir.
I don't have a smart ID. I actually still have that old book.
Dumb ID.
Little book. Yeah.
The little not book. So smart.
It's
ID.
Falling apart.
Man, I also have the little book.
You do. Yeah. I thought you would have a card by now.
No, I missed that train. Or everybody I know has a smart card.
Yeah, that looks so much better, and you can put it in your wallet. And here we are with our books, and that book's been manhandled too many times already.
Now, we're speaking about how cold it is, but did you know that this weekend from today, we're getting hit with a solar storm?
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Yeah, what can we expect?
Nothing good. No, I'm joking. Not that bad. It is labeled as a severe solar storm, and it's a level 3 solar storm out of 5 levels of classification. And you would think, oh, I wonder if we've ever had a level 5 solar storm. We have in 2003.
And we lived through it without knowing.
We're still here today.
Or maybe our technology stopped working. We had no reason for it. Now we know.
Well, this is what's really impressive. We needn't worry about the effects of a solar storm, at least right now, because our magnetic field does the job of basically protecting us from what is mass ejection from the sun. It's when the sun just ejects mass and basically portions of it explode that are like hundreds of times bigger than, you know, most continents. And, you know, here comes radiation towards us, solar radiation. And our magnetic field says, no problem. You know, just bounces it off like a bullet bouncing off of Superman. And in a way, our magnetic field is kind of our Superman, because if we didn't have a magnetic field, I believe that it's like if we were exposed to the solar radiation for like 60 seconds, the entire Earth, what is exposed to that radiation, would become sterile within 60 seconds. Mm. So the magnetic field does a great job of protecting us. But apparently, for the first time since January 2005, the U.S. Space Weather Prediction Center has issued a G4. Oh, sorry, so it's not G3, it's a G4 geomagnetic storm.
Oops.
And the second highest on a five-step scale, as multiple waves of solar energy bear down on our beautiful planet. So it was five eruptions of material from the sun's atmosphere, and they're forecast to arrive late yesterday and through all the way till end of day Sunday. So yeah, you can expect a few things like, you know, some unprepared electric grids can be disrupted, pipelines can be charged with current, and spacecraft can be knocked off course. So yeah, I know you wanted to go for a space trip, but I'd probably postpone that if I was you.
So could we see anything on Sunday, maybe?
Well, this is the crazy thing. Parts of Asia, Europe, and North America might be able to see an aura. You know, when they talk about the northern lights?
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's beautiful.
And you see,
beautiful.
Like, the green rays
that's
in
stunning.
The sky.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look in the sky tonight. Maybe you see something. I mean, you know, most people will talk about Europe, Asia, and America first.
Yeah.
And they won't really think about us here. Like, they think Africa is smaller than America, for example. So, they might not have mentioned us. Maybe we could see something. And if we do, that would be really, really cool.
That would be very
special.
I've
never seen northern lights in Africa.
Well, we can't see it now because there's no load shedding. All the light pollution.
The one time. Come on, man.
Yeah, come on.
The one time we needed it. Just couldn't be playing games with us. And so it's known that the strongest amount of power will be around 60 to 90 minutes before it hits Earth, as satellites will measure this inbound burst of energy. So, yeah. I mean, there you go. Never thought you would see a G4 solar storm, and it's the biggest one since 2004. So,
yikes.
Pretty wild. I wonder if we'll see any disruptions. Like, if your phone calls aren't placing so good, if they're randomly cutting out, if your 4G internet is more like 2G internet, let us know.
But I mean, you had a problem this week with internet and stuff, but you can't blame the solar storm
or
anything.
No.
You only can blame a provider.
I'll tell you what, if you're a homeowner and you have tenants that are in your house and they've got their own Vodacom account for fiber, I would seriously make sure that you check all of your boxes when they move out of that house, because I'll tell you now that from my experience over the last few days, if you're not the person who owns the account, and if you are the person that owns the account and you don't request Vodacom to release your fiber line, which basically releases it back to OpenServe's pool, which allows, you know, NiseNOn and RSA Web and any other Octotel, any service provider to basically claim that line and provide you with internet and manage that line, Vodacom will not release that line.
So Vodacom, you moved recently and Vodacom won't release your line.
No, absolutely. They say they're going to, but to go through the rigmarole and the hoops necessary to get these guys to release a line, and bear in mind that the contract for my particular house was cancelled at the 28th of February. So on the 4th of March, the cancellation was successful, meaning that person no longer had a contract with Vodacom for fiber at the property. However, Vodacom did not release that fiber line. And in order to release that fiber line, not only does the owner of the account have to call Vodacom, you have to call them once to cancel, and you have to call them a second time to release the line. That could take 30 days, it could take 60 days. It's just unknown. If you call Vodacom support, they don't log that as a request. So nobody at Vodacom can tell you when or where it's up to with in terms of releasing that line. So you kind of just have to sit there with your head in your hands and be like, well, I wonder if tomorrow will be the day that they release the line. And because if you're the owner of the house or you're a new tenant, guess what? You can't call Vodacom to find out the status of that request. So at this point, I'm just sitting here like, I hope the leaders there at Vodacom do something, because I called on Monday and they said, look, we've issued the request. I called on Tuesday. They said, we have no history of the request. So I made another request.
Oh, no.
I called on Wednesday. No history of the request. So they issued a request. I called on Thursday. No history of the request. So I'd be like, at this point, I was like, you know what? Maybe I just give in. Maybe I give Vodacom what they want. Because why would they not want to release the line?
Yeah.
If they don't want to release the line, it's so that you can come there and subscribe and get the services from them. But there's a catch. Because if you use Nisner on, if you use RSA Web, you can work month to month. But for Vodacom, if you want to utilize that infrastructure that they're holding onto, you need to sign a 24-month contract.
Sure.
And that
there's
means,
a plan there.
That means you have to give them bank statements, proof of employment. Boy. You have to give them everything. And I was just like, you know what? Actually, I don't think I'm going to fall prey to this method of customer
Good.
Acquisition.
Good.
I'd rather just sit with no internet. Makes no sense,
oh,
but
shame.
That's
you
my
need
stance.
It.
You need it. You
what
know?
Are you using now at the moment?
That's another thing. So I'm using an LTE router, which actually works perfectly fine. And
but you want your fiber.
Yeah, you do want fiber. But do you know what I noticed, which is very interesting? The 5G network here in Isla is not bad.
I haven't used it yet.
A 5G network here can net you up to 200, 300 megabyte per second download.
Wow.
Which is really fast.
Is it quite stable as well?
Yeah. Well, no, with a grain of salt. But...
Mm.
You're not going to have to worry about the stability of the LTE because good luck finding a 5G LTE router.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, sir. The only way that you can find them, there's two that are sold in South Africa. One that doesn't require you to go through contracts and all this stuff. One of them is a Nokia router, which is about 5,000 Rand.
Ish.
But it's currently sold out on Takealot, so the only ones you can find are about 7,000 Rand. And then there's another router as well, which is like a MikroTik 5G router, which is about 7 or 8,000 Rand. So if you want fiber speeds from LTE, be prepared to dish out a fair amount of money. And if you want fiber, but your previous tenant or your previous tenant or the person that was at the house before you got there, if you're renting, was with Vodacom, good luck to you as well.
I was wondering why you went gray overnight.
Gray,
sure, man.
Gray hairs.
Yeah.
Gray hairs. I can't believe it. I really don't agree with that method of...
Yeah, you know, but you don't deserve it. It's
ridiculous. You can't be a company that's very easy to get started on and then incredibly difficult to get rid of. You know, that doesn't really make sense.
But Vodacom is very difficult in any case because they don't even want to pay the please call me guy.
No, they don't. Let's not forget that they didn't pay that guy for 5 years. Then he sued them. And then they continued to make money for like another 10 years. And then he carried on trying to sue them. And then eventually they got told by court that they have to pay billions. And all of a sudden confidential.
Yeah.
So now we know.
Very stubborn.
Everything.
They really push it, eh?
No. Jeez. Speaking of people that push it, do you remember Mirror Trading International, MTI?
Sounds familiar.
So they were a mega scam here in South Africa that unfortunately stole a lot of money from good people. And they kind of had a big Ponzi scheme, and there was a hacker group that hacked into the website and kind of found out all the scheming kind of things that they were doing and released it. And then the owner of MTI ran away to Brazil. And South Africa actually got an extradition kind of request through that was actually approved in April. But then the owner died of like an apparent death, and it was from a pulmonary thromboembolism, whatever that is.
Whoa, what?
But they don't know if they're going to get the body back. So basically, this is still ongoing. So right now, Mirror Trading International's late CEO Johan Steinberg was fighting extradition from Brazil before his apparent death, and the National Prosecuting Authority confirmed to My Broadband that it transmitted an extradition request to Brazil, which Steinberg was opposing in court.
Oh yeah, so that's now I know what you're talking about.
And it's so unfortunate because if you look at the value of the amount of money that was stolen, right? So even using the much lower Bitcoin price at the time of the scheme's collapse, around 500,000 Rand a Bitcoin, the estimated value of the lowest estimates value MTI at 14.7 billion Rand, which was stolen out of the pockets of South Africans, and the current Bitcoin price of 1.2 million Rand, this amount becomes 34.7 billion Rand.
Yo.
So acting judge in the Western Cape High Court, Alma De Wet, ruled last April that MTI was an unlawful scheme, calling it a pyramid and a Ponzi scheme. And so far, together with a My Broadband investigative journalist and community members, the group exposed the inner workings of MTI And hopefully those individuals will see some of their money back. But absolutely one of the biggest Ponzi schemes around the world, not just South Africa, actually the entire of Africa as well. And that's just crazy, eh?
Welcome back to Tech Plus, where we discuss the week's biggest tech stories with yourself, with myself, Jan. yourself as well, and myself, and then Kane as well. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Well, unlimited free delivery subscription service, something you don't hear about pretty much ever in South Africa, but when I was in Dubai, this was like the norm. Any delivery service you signed up for, whether it was the Uber Eats equivalent Careem, or whether it was the alternatives like Deliveroo, they all offered you a subscription. And what the subscription gets you is just unlimited free deliveries. Which makes a big difference when you're ordering, like in Dubai, you might be ordering three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper. You know, that's really, that kind of situation exists there. Here, on the other hand, we're seeing that kind of pick up. We're seeing Mr. D, right? Mr. D Delivery. Have you used it?
No.
Really? It's here in Eisner.
What?
You didn't know this?
Highball.
If you're in Eisner.
No, you're lying, eh?
I'm telling you right now, Mr. D Delivery.
You've got Mr. D here now.
Taishan.
Deliver to your house.
Pizza Perfect.
Deliver to your house.
Deliver to your house. Mug and Bean.
KFC. Highball.
All right from your phone. It's via Takealot's delivery.
Okay, I'm downloading
network.
It right now.
Watch this Mr. D delivery advert here on eRadio. Not sponsored by Mr. D.
Should be.
Should be, though, if you're listening. The South African e-commerce giant said the subscription service dubbed Takealot More from Takealot and Mr. D.
Takealot More. I like that. That's a nice
Takealot More. Clever, right?
It's quite clever.
So they said that this groundbreaking subscription service offers millions of South Africans exclusive monthly benefits to eliminate delivery costs and enhance shopping convenience. So with this subscription, you get free deliveries, unlimited free deliveries, uncapped free deliveries. I don't know how many deliveries, because Takealot, the thing is, every delivery I've got from Takealot is over 500 rand. So I've always had free deliveries from Takealot.
It comes in this huge box just for pen.
Or like 25 boxes.
I think they're wasting boxes, eh? They really, often you sit with all these things and packaging for a small thing. I've saved on it.
I tell you what, I thought to myself, you know, it would be such a waste to throw away all these Takealot boxes. So in the 3 years that I stayed at my house before I moved, I would just, it was so easy, take the Takealot box, put it in the garage. When I moved, I've never seen so many boxes.
Yeah.
Don't save those things. They're too small to put stuff in. You're just better off.
But Ken, don't we have Uber Eats?
Uber Eats? No, I wish.
Not yet.
But Mr. D is just as good, let's be honest. Who would you rather support? Uber Eats? Actually, you know what? If every Uber driver could do Uber Eats, that's pretty cool. And it apparently is available in Plett. So, I mean, I don't know why it's not available here.
That's quite an interesting one.
I think the hardest part about something like an Uber Eats is restaurant acquisition.
Yeah.
I don't think the drivers, there's a shortage of drivers. Because I've noticed that some Mr. D drivers are from Takealot. Well, naturally, they're owned by the same company, but they use Takealot's delivery network.
I don't think we can see Uber Eats anytime soon. Not in this.
Well, not with this kind of competition. No.
Yeah, and also, you can barely get an Uber driver nowadays. So I won't expect them to bring me a KFC bucket anytime soon.
So, the subscription service offers fast, free delivery and collect options on Takealot. The service is available now on Takealot's website and will start rolling out on the Takealot mobile app from Monday, the 13th of May, 2024. Two subscription tiers are available. You have the Takealot More Standard at 39 Rand per month.
And that's cheap.
It's not a lot. Super cheap. And the Takealot More Premium for 99 Rand per month. It's quite weird because it's like the service is called Takealot More Standard, but Takealot More Premium, like my brain reads Takealot More Premium. I don't read Takealot More Premium. That doesn't really connect.
Yeah.
For 99 Rand per month. So for orders with a minimum value of 500 Rand, the standard plan offers two free same-day deliveries and collections per month. We don't get same-day deliveries. We do actually have a Takealot pickup point, though.
Yes.
Which means we're getting closer. We just need a Takealot warehouse. Yes. And it needs to be stocked. And then we have the standard subscription also provides one free Mr. D takeaway order with a minimum value of 150 Rand and one free Mr. D grocery order with a minimum value of 350 Rand. So if you didn't know, Mr. D, you can also order groceries.
Mm.
So premium provides unlimited same day, next day and standard deliveries and collections for take a lot orders, as well as 10 free deliveries of bulky items in a month. On Mr. D, premium subscribers will get 5 free deliveries for orders with a minimum value of 150 Rand and unlimited grocery deliveries for orders with a minimum value of 350 Rand. So, not too bad. Really not bad.
Wow. You know, so you really, really don't have to leave your house anymore to get stuff. There's Temu and Shein also, very big in our country at the moment. I see they're actually being watched as we speak. They're suspecting that they could be dodging customs and other taxes. Because I was wondering about that initially and thinking, how do they get that stuff here so quickly from overseas? Shein and this Temu thing.
Is it quick?
Yeah. Everybody's saying it's unbelievably quick. But I mean, they obviously have a shortcut. And now the Trade and Industry Minister Ibrahim Patel said that they are investigating it and they want to confront the online retail platforms using these tariff loopholes that undermine locally produced goods.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, so, but at the moment, no comment from Shein or Temu. So they just want to see also if they're not avoiding tax, maybe undercutting local retailers, and then they feel that it could put thousands of local jobs on the line and also limit tax collection. So that's going to be an interesting one. We can see that once again, South Africa, just like with Starlink, they're trying to regulate, just like America is trying to do now with TikTok.
Yes.
Trying to get the Chinese company to sell it.
Yes. But yeah, that's such a... I don't agree with those strategies. Take Temu away. Fine. Do what you got to do. Because some of the products there are just absolute rubbish.
Yeah, well, I heard
poor
so.
Poor quality,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But Starlink, we can all agree, is not poor quality.
No.
And if you can connect someone in a rural area with an internet connection, basically connect the unconnected... You're creating jobs because let's look at it this way. If you have a rural township of 1,200 people or even less, let's say 500, 600 people, why would Telkom or Vodacom or OpenServe install infrastructure in that area to serve 3 people with internet?
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen. It's just a waste of money.
Yeah.
But with something like Starlink, you don't need to output that because the cost of infrastructure is higher than that of your subscription by far. So your little contract for internet every month isn't even close. It'll probably take you 25 years of paying triple every single month to pay the amount of money it would require to install that infrastructure. But if you can connect a Starlink service in that same region and one guy can sell that service to 10 people, that means all you need is 50 people to buy a Starlink service to provide that entire area with internet. But mobile network technologies of today, like routers and things like that, can hold up to sometimes 100, 200 active connections.
Oh, really?
So it's more like, let's call it 100 active connections. One person, let's call it 50. One person can connect 50 people. Meaning if you can have 10 people with Starlink internet, you can connect 500 people to the internet. So that small region that is outside of the reach of our local service providers is now within the reach of those individuals connecting to the internet. So, and what are the odds that Starlink decides, okay, we're going to sell 30% of our company to previously underprivileged people? It's like, it's not going to happen. It's a dream. And then what other South African service is going to be able to put enough satellites into the air in geostationary orbit to provide the same service competitively without having the technology and the educational on-ramp? So my thing is, like, I agree with the policy, but I don't agree with restricting Starlink. Right now, only the most wealthiest of people are getting Starlink because that's the only way that they can access. They might be getting that service because they can afford to, and they're doing it via going through Malawi or Nigeria or Ghana, and they're using businesses to access that service. Rather, stop trying to defend undefendable services and open access it so that everybody can access it, and then regulate it from specific regions. Work with them. Right now they're just trying to take Starlink out completely, and they were supposed to start on May 1st and it hasn't happened. People are still connected to their Starlink service. So I hope I hope we can see a more priority being put on connecting the unconnected, because when you can connect the unconnected, you educate them, right? They have access to information. So the same people that can't afford to go to schooling or can only walk to school, right, or can only go to schooling within walkable range, now have access to an unfettered amount of information and knowledge online. And the government was even going to do a thing where they gave every single person in South Africa 10 gigs of internet per month for free. But it hasn't happened.
But Kane, now when you mention this, I saw this week in the news, and I was wondering, I was wondering what you would say about this. I see some of the smaller political parties are promising free Wi-Fi to communities. And the reason for that is education and for them to look for jobs online.
Yeah.
What do you say, you know, about that?
I totally agree with that. One of the biggest things that I was trying to speak about when I was going to conferences and events in Dubai was, and nobody really understands it until you go to these events in South Africa and Africa, is if you can give people if you can give people a vehicle to access the internet, such as a smartphone, and you can give them an internet connection to freely access that, they have the ability to educate themselves. And when you consider somewhere like India, like every time you hear about cheap developers or cheap this or cheap that, it's sourced from India. And Africa has the full potential to become a significantly similar workforce, where you can provide these skills to the international world so that businesses can employ people and staff and education and have talent at their disposal for a fee that they can afford. And that's how people grow out of poverty. When China got out of poverty, I believe that they did something crazy. They started orchestrating news and information to say that eating all types of animals was okay. Right. But then what was happening was people were able to grow any type of animal, and people were buying it for food, and it pulled them out of poverty. It's like one of the greatest feats of like Chinese times, is like how they climbed out of what was extreme poverty, and that was one of the ways that they did it. That's but here, if you can connect people to the internet and you can allow them to educate themselves, remember, some schools suck. Like in rural regions, there's just nobody, they're not paid enough, nobody cares about
the classrooms the fall classroom apart.
Education. There's 700 kids and there's 700 kids and 7 educators.
But the buildings literally fall apart as well.
The buildings fall apart. Now look at something like ChatGPT that can provide one-on-one interactions with an individual and help them learn and speak to them and have all the time in the world for them, and what would take a human being 10 days to prepare, if preparing for 100 different people, takes a second, a millisecond, and it's for free. It's totally, completely for free. And if you need legal advice, if you need doctor advice, if you need a mentor to help you learn, if you need to start coding, if you need to find a writer, if you need to make an image, whatever you need to do, these services, the accessibility of services now, even compared to 3 years ago, is incomparable. So absolutely, if you can give people a smartphone and give them access to the internet, they're definitely going to educate themselves. There will be people that won't, but the people that do educate themselves will also have access to income, which will bring foreign income into Africa. People all around the world will hire these people, whether it's they're starting out as support agents or community moderators or whatever the starting point is. They might be designers, they might be any kind of person that you can imagine. They have access to knowledge. I once gave I once presented a pitch to a group of young talent in America that was called Heat. And the objective here was to show you that no matter how old you are, if you want to do any of the things that our company does, whether it's design, video, marketing, animation, development, whether it's you know, whether it's 3D modeling, game development, whatever the thing is that you want to do, there's a paid version and there's a free version of everything. There's absolutely a free version of every single professional design software and software as a service utility. So as an individual, you don't have to have money to pay exorbitant subscriptions. You can use, you know, you can use the free alternative of everything to do very similar kind of stuff. So absolutely, there's a massive opportunity for Africa to provide solutions to the rest of the world because they're connected and educated. And it's better than them trying to find work in a region that doesn't have it, or them having to travel hundreds of kilometers outside of somewhere that they're comfortable with. Like, you have people in South Africa that work for a very low amount of money, right? Then they go to somewhere like Makulu, and it costs them 10% to deposit the money, and it costs their family 10% to retrieve the money. So everything that they work for, when they go send money back to their family, they lose 20% of it.
That's horrible.
Where if they could get connected, they could be with their family, they can earn foreign income, they could use something like crypto to access that money, and it could be instantly, and they don't lose 20%. Their family has 20% more money. I think that's worth it. You know, I totally think that's worth it. At least it's a start. You know, it's a start to challenging some of the biggest problems that we face today, which is unemployment.
I just want to say, Kane for president.
No.
Ramaphosa, your time's over.
No, man.
This young man.
So here we have some really cool news as well. So here we have Neuralink's first implant in a human, right? Remember that? We heard about it. The first ever Neuralink implant.
I heard that there's some problems.
Well, apparently it started to detach from the patient's brain.
That's not fun.
So this is a coin-shaped chip which is embedded into the skull with threads that reach into the brain. And apparently a number of these threads slightly retracted from the brain.
Ish.
So
was it painful? Because it really sounds painful. No, imagine feeling it.
Here's a very interesting fact. The brain has no pain receptors at all.
Oh.
When you have open brain surgery, you can be awake. You don't feel anything.
Oh, that's what. Oh, I saw that. You might once suddenly, and that was quite jerk, disturbing.
But you don't feel nothing.
So your control room's got no feeling.
Nothing. It feels nothing.
Wow.
But I don't know how true that is, because kind of people like fish don't feel anything.
Yeah, but it's true. Like the brain itself, the receptors are elsewhere in the body. Hey, yeah. Sending it to the brain. But it's not in the brain itself, hey?
Yeah, I read somewhere something very interesting that apparently, like, when you have a headache, for example, there's your brain doesn't feel pain. But there's like a film of tissue that's kind of in between the skull and the brain. And 70% of headaches that are not, like, chronic are caused by that little film of tissue either being dehydrated or inflamed.
Wow.
So sometimes just water with a bit of salt can reduce a headache.
I've noticed a lot of people saying, just drink water. You're maybe just a bit dehydrated if you have a headache.
Yes.
But do you, how often do you get headaches?
Not often. I have some friends that do get it a bit more often, and water doesn't seem to do the trick for them. But I must say, for me, if I have a really bad headache, I just stop what I'm doing and I drink some water with a bit of salt and Bob's your uncle, I feel much better, you know. I try and refrain from using any kind of over-the-counter medication to deal with headaches, unless, as I said, there's a difference between an average everyday headache and chronic migraines.
That must
be
terrible, because what if I told you here right now that I don't get headaches? Would you believe me?
Ever? You don't even know what a headache looks like?
No.
Never? Come here, I'll just knock you on the head quick and I'll give you
maybe
an idea.
Maybe there's something disconnected in my brain that won't allow me to have headaches.
Maybe I had a Neuralink chip and it's come a bit loose.
But seriously, I think maybe my only time of memory of a headache was as a kid. I remember once I had a headache. But I never get headaches. If I get a headache, there's something really wrong.
Really, eh?
Even with stress, yes, my neck tenses up and all that stuff, but I don't get a headache, like a real headache.
Not even like one of those where you feel it behind your eye?
Oh, hell no, no.
Never, ever?
No, just sinus pain sometimes, but on my cheeks, but not, no.
Wow.
Lucky, eh?
And on that note, it's time for a music break.
It's time for a music break before I get a headache.
The first one ever.
Cool. And welcome back to Tech Plus. So this is now the final stretch for this week's show. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Have you ever heard of Max?
Max?
No.
Like Max what? Max who?
If you like Max, like Netflix. Or like Hulu.
That sounds cool, actually.
Okay, so HBO, you know HBO?
Yes.
You know Discovery?
Yes.
So HBO and Discovery have combined to Max, right? So HBO Max and Discovery Plus will soon be no more. Instead, they're aligning under one banner with the new Max streaming service. So here's everything you need to know. So Max is the alignment of HBO Max and Discovery Plus. They're becoming one service with the content libraries merging under one roof. So you'll get House of Dragon and Succession from HBO Max and the Discovery Plus library like Ghost Brothers, Lights Out and Crikey. It's the Iris twin, it's the Irwin twins, and the January 6th documentary Unprecedented. So if you don't know any of those, like me, that's probably because HBO and Discovery are not available in South Africa.
Exactly.
And that means Max isn't available in South Africa.
Oh.
Which is a bit sad, but it's not like you're missing anything because we never had HBO Max to begin with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
However, there is a way that you can watch HBO Max in South Africa.
VPN.
And that's VPN.
Yeah.
VPN. The number one way to illegally consume content.
That's how people from China also use WhatsApp. They use VPNs.
I had to use VPN in Dubai to have a WhatsApp call.
Oh, because you're not allowed to use WhatsApp in Dubai.
You can use WhatsApp. You're just not allowed to have a call. I feel like it's their way to promote...
Oh, you can text, but you can't call.
Exactly. I feel like it's the way that they promote like mobile call-to-call services in Dubai.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like it's a way to stop people from using cheaper alternatives or alternatives in general to make calls.
How are the mobile phone networks no longer make money with traditional phone calls, you know?
No.
It's because everybody's phoning for free. WhatsApp voice call costs you nothing.
So, you know, you know how they make money. They just make it impossible to leave.
Yeah, I was wondering what that reason was for that, actually. I thought it was more political or worried about stuff leaking out. But yeah, I think what you're saying makes more sense.
So now you can get a VPN on your TV as well. So if you have a smart TV, don't worry. There is a way around it. You can also connect, like, if you're a fundi and you can work with tech, you can actually connect your VPN on a router level. So you can connect your VPN to your router.
Wow.
Which means that any connection from any device that goes through your Wi-Fi is already on VPN. Which would only make sense if you're watching like HBO Max or something. However, do you want to know some of the prices?
Please.
So Max has an ad light version for $10 a month or $100 a year. So that's $10 a month, about 20 rand a month or 2,000 rand a year. Max ad free is about $16 a month, so about 320 rand. Sorry, did I say 20 rand? I meant to say $9.99 is actually 200 rand a month. So for 200 rand a month or 2,000 rand a year. Yeah, 20 rand a month. Can you imagine? I would buy it now.
Right now.
Activate.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Max ad free, so that's the non-ad version, you're going to pay $16 a month or about 320 rand a month or about $150 a year, about 3,000 rand a year. And Max Ultimate ad-free, you can't call yourself Max and have a tier called Ultimate. It's just Max Ultimate ad-free is 400 Rand a month or $20 a month or 4,000 Rand a year. And there you go. That's how you can watch Max. But did you know that they're not the only ones combining forces? Before I tell you the next one, listen to this. So Walmart Shopper Data, we don't know Walmart, but it's basically like the super spa of America. A super spa that sells technology. It's like I can't remember the name of the store in Dubai, but it was like Virgin. It's a Virgin store. You know Virgin Active? They have stores, and it's just like a crap load of tech. And Walmart Shopper Data will soon feed targeted ads on Disney Plus and Hulu. So Disney Plus and Hulu will now show you ads based on shopper data coming from Walmart, which means advertisers can now use Walmart shopper data to target Disney's streaming portfolio, which includes Disney Plus and Hulu. Adweek reports, the news comes after the companies announced a partnership between Disney Advertising and Walmart Connect, the retailer's media business on Wednesday. So I wonder how that affects South Africa's. Imagine you see like a Walmart ad. You're like, I wonder how I get this service. And then next, a Disney, Hulu, and Max streaming bundle is on the way. This bundle offers access to Game of Thrones, Star Wars, and The Bear arrives basically in the middle of this winter. We should see it. There's a new streaming bundle coming to town. Disney and Warner Bros. Discovery are teaming up to offer Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max in one bundle. And this is probably the future of streaming service that you're going to see, because that's the only way you can compete with Netflix, is other streaming services need to combine so that you pay one fee, but you can access the content on more than one of them. Because let's be honest, it's a flippin' difficult process managing.
Were you going to swear?
No. Funny enough, I wasn't. But flippin' difficult process managing all these different streaming subscriptions. I mean, we have, let's count them, just the ones in South Africa. Netflix, Disney Plus, Showmax.
Oh, yes.
Amazon. Apple TV.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime.
Five.
That's five.
It's hard, and they all go off every month. Different times.
So just getting punched in the head five times. So you thought you could eat this month. That's funny.
It's hard to keep track of it.
It is. And that's what they rely on. They're like, please forget about your subscription this month.
Yeah, exactly.
But I must say that the content is getting a bit better. But I feel like I always like stop watching and then I kind of come back and I like see one or two things that are interesting. I think most people, you could, if you just by default had your streaming services off, and when you found something online that you wanted to watch that was with that streaming service, you activated it for 1 month, you would save a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I promise you would probably pay like 4 months worth of Netflix a year, maybe 2 months worth of Amazon Prime a year. You'd probably pay like 1 month a year of Apple TV, because there's never flipping anything on that show.
Really?
No.
I think that
Netflix. But it's cheap as heck. It's like 100 rand a month. Not even. It's like way less. It's
but
like 70
Netflix
rand
is 99. But I feel that Netflix really upped their game, eh? Are you also.
I have that as well.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
That Netflix upped their game now with content.
Did you go back to Netflix now?
Yeah.
And Disney Plus?
No. Amazon I cancelled Disney Plus. I still have Amazon. I share that with someone.
Apple TV?
No.
Showmax?
No.
No.
Just Netflix at the moment for me.
Really?
And Amazon that I share with someone.
And what are you watching on Netflix?
Netflix, the recent show that I recommended last week, Baby Reindeer, that everybody's talking about, that crazy woman.
That's making its moves on the internet.
It's freaking huge, eh? And Amazon is not really anything like just older shows like Hot in Cleveland and that kind of stuff. Just when you don't have someone to watch, something to watch like Two and a Half Men. Just old favorites.
Speaking of Apple TV, did you hear about the Apple ad? People are losing their mind over this ad. I'm personally not too fazed about it.
What happened?
This just shows you how careful you have to be. So Apple made an ad where they were showing off their new iPad, the thinnest iPad they've ever made. And it is really thin. It's like unbelievably thin. Phones are thicker than this iPad.
Yeah.
And this thing is like, it doesn't really make sense. The size of the device matched with the thinness of the screen just like are not making sense. But they made an ad which was like, creativity is in our DNA at Apple. And they had a giant, like, instead of a 2-ton press, like a 200 ton press. And this thing was pressing down on a bunch of items. Like, this thing is big. This thing is like the size of a bedroom, right? This 2-ton press. And inside of this 2-ton press was piano, guitar, like TVs, violins, like you're talking like musical instruments, like most things that have creativity assigned to them, like people use to be creative, like a piano, like a guitar. And it was a lot of stuff that was piled up onto this platform. And I'm even going to go there and see if I can see exactly what items there were. It was like that stuff people use to paint figurines. There was lights, there was vinyls, there was cameras, there was torches, there were old TVs, there were cans of paint, there were lenses, and there were books, And basically this 2-ton press was just pressing down on all these things. And as it pressed down on all these things, the piano exploded and the guitar exploded and, you know, the lights exploded and the lenses shattered. And it's like just slowly but surely pressing down on all of this gear, wow, all of this creative gear. And they had like spray cans of paint and like containers of paint like that you would paint a wall with. And those were exploding and just a whole bunch was going on. And it basically completely flattens out. So it flattens everything.
Whoa.
And then it lifts up. And now there's nothing left. There's just an iPad.
Wow, that's actually brilliant.
And I was like, that's so cool.
That's so... I have to go and watch it right now after the show.
And people said that it is a totally offensive thing. Because it's... Hugh Grant called it a destruction of human experience. And
it's art.
Handmaid's Tale director Reed Maniero told Apple CEO Tim Cook to read the room in a post on X. And Apple did respond and they're like, we're sorry, we maybe missed the mark with this ad. And I was like, it's a cool ad. Like,
it's cool.
People getting but you know what they're saying? They're saying indirectly, if you want to really break down why people might be upset about it, is they're saying that, you know, piano's gone, violin's gone, guitar's gone. It can all just be done from the iPad. Don't worry about any of that
stuff.
If
you interpret it like that.
And if you like.
And it is hard to see a musical instrument being destroyed. For me personally as
I
well.
I know, it's very...
Especially a piano. That's quite hectic to see.
It's like a big object, you know.
Destroyed, yeah.
And it's like it's quite a lot sad. Of work goes into a piano.
Yeah.
So that's why people were upset. And I don't know, I think Apple's known for their really good
ads.
They
wanted people to talk about it. And that's what they got it right, you know.
And they're just like,
I have to go and watch it now. I'm very curious.
You have to,
it
it's
sounds
like
so
quite
good.
An ad. It's literally as I described it.
Wow, okay.
So
that's awesome.
In other news, OpenAI, we know OpenAI, GPT-3, GPT-4, could unveil its Google search competitor on Monday. So that could be big.
Okay.
That could be big. Stanford prototyped their new future of AR glasses, which are basically, they look like those 3D glasses you wear to a cinema. Remember those red and blue ones? Olden day ones. They're literally like little thin things that have a huge amount of AR capabilities, which was the one thing I thought was missing from the Meta Ray-Bans. Like, it would have been really cool if they just had like a WhatsApp icon or something around the glasses that could show you got a message, even if it's just a flashing icon or something like that. So that I'd be excited to see some AR glasses. I've also seen some AR glasses where people literally throw up a screen in front of them. I just got the Quest 3 and it's a hell of an experience to have that AR. You can literally just put screens up in front of you. That's the Vision Pro's number one thing, is you can literally put screens up on the wall and stuff, and you can walk out of the room, and when you walk back in the room, all the screens you put up in augmented reality are still there. And Marvel is apparently bringing out a mixed reality version of What If. So you know the Marvel What If series, which basically takes popular shows that Marvel's created and throws a different swing on the ending or something like that, and they make a whole cartoon about it. Well, mixed reality stuff in that kind of realm would mean that you put on a pair of VR glasses and you're actually inside of the movie. You could look around.
Wow.
It's 360 degrees.
That's next level.
Yeah, and it could be quite an experience. Definitely would want to take a look at that. Apple plans to use its M2 Ultra chips in the cloud for AI. So they've just come out with the M4, which is in the iPad we just spoke about. So the M2 chips they're planning to use for cloud processing and anything else they might bring to the M4 chip. Corsair, which is a computer accessory and technology manufacturing company and retailer, is acquiring a racing simulator company called Phonetic. So that's very, very interesting. And the last thing that we're talking about is TikTok, which is adding an AI-generated label watermark to third-party content that was made with AI.
So okay.
You could be browsing TikTok, see something really, really cool, and be like, hey, this was AI.
Oh, okay. So now you know that it was
especially
AI.
If it's hard to discern.
Okay, that helps.
That being said, though, you know which company made a post for Mother's Day using AI and didn't say they used AI?
Ooh.
But it was pretty obvious.
Who was it?
Huawei.
Ah, what did they do?
They posted a video for Mother's Day, which is like a whole bunch of cartoon, like mom and daughters interacting. But all their fingers are like messed up real bad. And it just looks very, very strange. And there's also a new Asus ROG Ally coming out, which is the handheld portable gaming device, which has become really, really popular. And the Aura Ring, which is a smart ring that's being made that's kind of like read your biometrics and stuff. So instead of wearing a mask to read all your biometrics, you have a Aura ring, and it will be able to gauge how old your heart is.
Oh, wow.
So it can give you a cardiovascular age.
Yeah, hopefully younger than what you are.
Yeah, I hope
not
you,
older.
You don't want to get a, you don't want to hear a read. Like if you tell, if you're like 60 and it tells you you're 30, that's fantastic. But if you're 30
not
and it tells you you're 60.
Yeah, I'm worried about that actually. And then just lastly, Ster Kinnickel, we know that they were in business rescue as well after the pandemic, and they're not doing well. In general, because people don't really go to the movies anymore, the prices have skyrocketed, and just buying popcorn feels like buying a share in the company. It's so expensive. So they're running like throwback cinema titles right now, where you can go and see older movies for 50 rand.
Hey,
just
that's
to get
cool.
people back in there, which is quite a good idea, actually. I don't mind seeing older stuff.
Just don't make the snacks so expensive. There's better ways to make money. Like
I feel after buying the snacks, I feel like I own something in the company now. It's just feels like a total ripoff.
And the one time I went there and I got popcorn, and it sounded like it felt like it was popcorn made yesterday. Like no one was buying the popcorn, so they were like, "We'll just use yesterday's popcorn."
Oh no, that's like not lacquer. Yeah, it needs to be crunchy and warm and stuff.
Yeah,
not like
they had like only two flavors. It was sour cream and chives and salted vinegar and butter.
they're closing quite a few of their cinemas, and people have been retrenched, though, which is really sad, you know.
You don't
but it is
that.
A sign of the times. As we said previously also, it's another case of Musica and Mr. Video. You know, it will be phased out eventually. It's inevitable, unfortunately, as we move on.
It's such a good experience watching TV on like a 300-inch TV, I must say. Maybe I'll go to Ster Kinnickel just to make sure it doesn't go to business rescue just yet.
Yeah, not again.
Not again.
Well, Kane, thank you so much. That was another awesome, very packed show today. Have a lekker weekend, and then we'll see you here next week, same time, same place.
Thank you so much for having me. And to all of our listeners, we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Yes, and happy Mother's Day for Sunday.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, it's also my birthday on Sunday.
And happy birthday for tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much, Kane. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.